Hello and welcome to the This Is Islay podcast, a local podcast celebrating the people, places and connections which shape the Islay and Jura communities.
Hello, this is Julian Thurgood for This Is Islay, and I'm in the high school studio today with Glenn Roberts.
Good afternoon.
And a newbie, newcomer to the podcast team, Jean McClellan.
Hello.
How are you doing, Jean?
Doing fine, thank you.
And what are you doing here?
Well, I've come to enjoy the pleasure of your company and also to contribute to the podcast.
I was going to say more than that because you're key to the topic we're going to discuss today.
Am I?
Well, I think so. We all are. You know the theme of This Is Islay, celebrating the people, places, events and connections that shape the Islay and Jura community. But we're kind of following the theme of Glasgow. People make Glasgow. Well, people make Islay too. And so after 3.5 years, we've decided to go back to the beginning and talk about the term Eilleach and what makes an Eilleach. What is it to become an Eilleach? Do you have an opinion, Glenn?
Well, it's always very difficult because I'm an Eilleach, as you will follow, when the listener follows through, we'll find that certain questions have been asked by the students at the high school, which you'll hear their recording later on, and obviously a young lady called Samantha. And the question was, from one of the young ladies, the young student was, I'm an Eilleach, my mother's an Eilleach, but are you an Eilleach because you were born here, or is it because you live here and you get involved with the community? Which I thought was very interesting. And I thought, well, am I an Eilleach? Because I've been here 20 years. I married an Eilleach. So am I an Eilleach? But when I thought about it, and I always remember being a Welshman, it was always understood that if your father was Welsh, you were Welsh. So in Islay, if your father was born and bred in Islay, are you an Eilleach? I don't know. It's a very complicated question. I'm sure it's very simple, but to me it's complicated because of my partner comes from Port Ellen. He was born and bred in Islay, so he's an Eilleach. His family can go back to 16-something when the family were here living on the Oe. But his mother came from Colinsey.
Well, we'll revisit. We're planning more than one episode on this topic because we know that everyone listening has some kind of connection to Islay. That's one thing for sure. Jean, what's your perspective?
Well, I think what I do is agree with Glenn and how he covers the territory, really. But for me, there's an added factor, which is about whether you feel an Eilleach. So not so much about the born and bred or the contributing to the community, but if you have an emotional attachment to the place and to its culture and its heritage and its people, if you feel that. I mean, I'm an Uaisteach. I was born in North Uist, but I came here when I was 4, and I've been here on and off and permanently now ever since. I feel an Eilleach, and if someone asked me anywhere, where are you from, I would always say Islay. I wouldn't say Uist.
Can you be an Uaisteach and an Eilleach at the same time?
Oh, I don't know. I don't feel an Uaisteach.
Leave that there for now. I decided to go back to a textbook, you know, whether it's authoritative or not. Stephen Mythen wrote a book and he named it Land of the Eilleach. And that's the plural of Eilleach. And he says, some restrict the term to those who were born and bred on the island, but I prefer a broader definition to encompass those for whom Islay is or was an integral part of their identity, those who helped to shape the society, economy, and culture of the island, and were in turn shaped by Islay itself. So I think it's a broad definition, but maybe an interesting place to start. We started somewhere else.
Indeed.
It being 2024, where did we start, Jean?
Well, we placed a wee post on the Islay notice board, that local Facebook page. And some of the responses we received were very interesting. One that was one that we can all identify with is, being a true Eilidh is learning to accept that there are days without daily newspapers and no daily pieces. I'm not sure about the daily pieces though. Other people saying, I was less than 2 years old when I came to Eilidh and 18 when I left. So it's where I grew up. It's where I feel I come from. I feel like an Eilidh, but I'm under no illusions. My family weren't from there, like Glenn's made the point about generations past. I wasn't even born there. I know I was just an incomer, said another participant.
Here's another comment which I thought was interesting. For the last 50 years or more, many pregnant Eilidh women have been flown to the mainland to have the babies, then returned home to Eilidh to stay and bring up their children on Eilidh. Each and every one of these babies are also Eilidh, just as much as the very few now born on Eilidh. So it's not not clear cut. You can't say that if you were born on Paisley, you're not an Eilidh.
I'm thinking about the number of babies that are actually born on Eilidh that would therefore be absolutely true Eilidhs. And are you a lesser Eilidh if you're born in Paisley and you come here when you're 2 days old or 3 days old? And what if your siblings are different from you? One might be born in Eilidh because of the complexities of pregnancy, another might not. So even within a family, it could be different or perceived to be different.
Well, I'm thinking also of the clearances. You know, if you think back to 15,000 people living on Eilidh in the mid-19th century, many of them, you know, by the end of the century, they weren't living on Eilidh. They went to the New World, they went other places.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty certain that they would have felt themselves an Eilidh for a great amount of that time when they were traveling to the New World.
Mm.
It's what they grew up with. But you know, the world's different now. People can travel a lot more. A lot of people leave Eilidh when they leave high school and come back later in life. I myself, I'm not even, I know I'm an incomer, but I've been coming to Eilidh since I was fairly young, and I've lived here for the last 5 years, and I know Eilidh to me is a very special place, but definitely not an Eilidh by background or any measure.
Would you define yourself as an Eilidh in any context?
In any context?
Yeah, somewhere.
I don't think so. I mean, when I travel, especially traveling abroad, I'll talk about where I live. Sometimes I'll talk about whiskey. Sometimes I'll just talk about this magical island.
Yeah.
But no, I don't need to talk about it any more than that. It's a place I love.
Mm.
It's a place I like to call home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it for now.
I know, but I mean, every time you go away or go to the mainland, you know,
if I'm so lucky.
It's always. I know when we're away, you know, the first question is asked when we get in the mainland is, when we're going back to Eilidh.
Yeah.
You know, so it's home. When a lot of people love going to the mainland, we go on holiday or for other reasons. But the first question is, when are we going back home? And home is Eilidh. When you're an incomer like I am, once you grow in Eilidh or Eilidh grows on you, although you don't class yourself, I would never say I was an Eilidh. But I always, my thought is, well, I'm here, I love being here, and I've been here 20 years. So there must be something. It's the people, it's the community. For me, it's not the whiskey, but that's just my preference. But you get on so well with everybody. Once you feel as if you're integrated. I remember when I first came over and we were living at Bridge End and we used to go down to Jimmy's, the shop, and used to go in and say, good morning, hello, and everybody used to look and think, who's that strange character? But once they got used to you, you then became part of their community. Everybody speaks to everybody on Eilidh. I know many of the times we walk through the village, Plumer Moor even, And now she'd say to me, who's that? I don't know. Be nice. Yeah. So they're nice to you, so you're nice back. And everybody, they've got so used to knowing, even with me involved with the community council and other things, and if you're not somewhere where you should be, everybody starts worrying, why has Glenn not been in? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. So we're like one big family. That's how I class Isla.
I don't know if I would class it in quite the same way. I agree with a lot of what you've said about the magic of the place and the acceptance that each and every one of us has if we are prepared to make a contribution and be part of the island. But there are different perceptions around, like one of the perceptions is that some incomers relate only to each other and they don't reach out to the community, and that's somewhat different.
It was interesting, I have to say, when we put this post on Facebook, because we put it on the Isla notice board, might not have been the best place to open up such a topic, I'll accept that. When the comments were turned off, we still received DMs, messages from people, and they continued the big range of responses to the topic, and they weren't all positive. So there are some incomers that do not feel accepted, do not feel part of the community, and you know, so it's not all roses for everyone. You know, this is the last comment for this episode, perhaps. You know, someone wrote, we all have different associations with Isla. I was born in Glasgow, but brought up in Killeela. I don't live on Isla anymore, but Killeela is still home. Glasgow was where you had to go to have your baby at that time. So yes, I'm an Eelach. So people who have a connection with Isla, it's not a permanent connection. People carry that connection with Isla away with them wherever they spend their lives. And likewise, I would argue that you could be born somewhere else and die an Eelach. And I want, you know, I think that's a really interesting question, but maybe some of our listeners will know people like that who have lived such a long time or contributed so much to the Isla community that not only do they feel themselves to be an Eelach, but other people view them as an Eelach as well. Because a lot of this discussion is, you know, there's some negative aspects to, you know, someone might say, well, you're never going to be an Eelach, as though it's something that, you know, you can hold over an incomer. But I think it's all a matter of perception. People will know who they are. People might view themselves as an Eelach or not. But it's all about this connection to this special place.
And I think it's important that we have a balance in our podcasts of the range of perspectives, the positive and the less positive.
And so we've decided to explore this topic, and we're going to be talking to different people over the next one, two, three, few episodes. So let's get started. Here's Greg Barker from Isla High School talking to Jura Patterson and Matthew Campbell.
Jura, Matthew, welcome to the This Is Isla podcast. Today we're going to be asking you, what is an Eelach?
Right, Matthew, you go ahead.
I don't know, it's difficult, because obviously you've got on one hand someone who's just grown up in Isla and been in Isla all their days, or you've got the folk that just come over to Isla, and then if they're really involved in the community and everything, would you class them as an Eelach?
Well, I don't know, because like I can't say that my family's really involved in the community, but I'd still class ours Eelachs. Like, you're really involved in the community because you do, like, your lifeguard and your football stuff, but I wouldn't say I'm very involved.
Nah, but, like, you get about, like, you know most folk in Ireland. Like,
yeah, but that's a case of living here, though.
Aye. So okay. Would you class yourself as an Eelach?
Yeah, because I live here.
But say you went away, right?
Aye.
And then came back with someone else.
Yes.
Would you class them as an Eelach?
No.
So if they lived there for...
Well, it's like apparently it's 10 years.
10 years.
10 years you have to live somewhere to be actually that place, like a part of that place.
Right.
Supposedly.
So do you say someone who lived on Isla for longer than 10 years?
No, like as in, like if you're not originally from Isla. I think if you're an Isla that's originally from here, that's what like... Yeah, a person who's originally from Isla, you're an Isla, born and bred, that sort of thing. But if you come in, moved over and have been here for most of your life, I think if you've been here more than you have been... Yeah. Well, my mum's not actually from here. She's from Tarbert, but she's been in Isla longer than she's ever been in Tarbert.
So would you say she's
an Yeah, she's an Isla, because she's been longer here.
Did she like,
here
grow
than...
up in Tarbert?
Yeah, she grew up in Tarbert, but she moved over here when she was maybe 19 and she's now like...
So you'd say that she's an Isla?
Yeah. I think it's also someone who just enjoys the place and kind of gets involved with the culture.
Aye.
Yeah, that's my opinion on it.
Aye.
I can see the cogs turning.
You sort of need to, like, would you say you need to, like, play a role?
I don't think so. I think it's a case of just a support in what the island is trying to do and what it needs and all that. So, like, say someone was petitioning for new roads and you either have them... not the money, but also, like, you could write your name on that petition, but you're not actually from Isla. Like, putting your input in and stuff like that. Not in the way of, like, being on the notice board and giving it, you know, this, that, and the next thing. But, like, as in, like, supporting and trying to get what Isla needs.
So supporting local community
yeah.
and stuff,
aye. But you don't, like, don't have to, like, actually get involved and, like, say, run a club or anything like that. But yeah. just, like, show your support in some way, shape, or form.
Aye, so if you're, like, supporting your local causes and all that, and giving yeah. back to the island, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. Local businesses and things like that. All that sort of jazz. Yeah.
Well, thank you for those thoughts. And would you consider yourselves Isla's, both of you?
I'd say so.
I think so,
I think so. If someone turned around and said to me, like, no, you're not from Isla, I'd be like, are you joking?
I mean, well, 17, 18 years of our life on this island,
yeah.
so...
Because we're talking about this today and people were saying, like, you're technically not Isla born and bred because you weren't born in Isla. I was like, well, actually, I was born in the Queen Mother's. I don't quite know what you want me...
Born in Isla and then three weeks later maybe coming on to Isla.
Not even,
that.
Like a few days.
People
are flown back depending on how your mum is, but...
I think that's the majority of folk, though. Like, not a lot of people are actually born here. Everyone usually gets flown away and then
yeah.
flown back.
Because Isla just doesn't have the resources to have, like, home births and things. I mean, saying that, my sister did have a home birth, but she had, like, preparation for that for, like... It's not just randomly, like, if you're coming up to your due date, they automatically just fly you out.
Aye.
So...
Aye, so I reckon... That's it, say we do.
Yeah. Through and through.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming and having a wee chat with us today. That's been great. Cheers.
Thanks
Cheers.
So much.
Thanks, Greg. That was really refreshing to hear Jura and Matthew and their fresh approach to what it is to be an Isla.
They were very natural together. I loved the exchange that went on
between
them.
It was great.
It was. It really was. And you learnt something from it, because they're the younger generation,
mm-hmm.
so they're coming up, and hopefully they will be the community on Isla.
And they did reiterate many of the points that we've already made.
We're going to hear a lot of different views
mm-hmm.
on this same topic. Let's go over to Russell Pollock. He's in conversation with Samantha MacArthur.
Hello and welcome to This Is Isla. This is Russell recording in the Isla High School studio with Samantha MacArthur. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you very much.
We have recently undertaken a new theme for our podcast where we're going to be looking at six topics throughout the year. Our first topic is starting off with what is an Isla? We've reached out to the community in a couple of different ways to try and get information. One of them was a Facebook post on the Isla Community Notice Board. That is put us in with some controversial opinions, but one of the respondents to that was Samantha here. And Samantha, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in this topic?
Yeah, so I grew up on Isla. I went to school here. And the reason I'm interested in this topic is because it's what I chose to do my dissertation on over the course of the last sort of 8 months, so I got the chance to do lots of interviews with local people and do a questionnaire and got a lot of responses, so I feel I can hopefully talk about what I learned from it.
And what's your degree going to be in?
A Bachelor's of Science in Geography. This just fits in the criteria for a geography dissertation.
This would be human geography.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
So, what in your study, what can you kind of tell us? What, when you looked at it, what did you discover that makes someone an Inuit?
Yeah. Well, mine had kind of two aspects to it. One was, I guess, the characteristics of an Inuit and how people feel about their own identity. And then the second aspect of that, which isn't as relevant, was more about how their feelings of identity affected their attitudes towards people moving on to Islay. But I think for the most part, the biggest thing that came up was how varied the opinions of what an Inuit was were, basically. There was a huge, huge range of responses in terms of what people thought it was about. A lot of them were kind of binary responses, and to be an Inuit, you have to be born in Islay, and that's just a yes or no. A lot of people said, well, no, if you're born in Paisley for such and such reason, that counts too. A lot of people disagreed with that. A lot of people thought it was more actual, like, attributes and characteristics. So if you were nice, you're an Inuit. If you were friendly, hardworking, some of them were more negative. Some of them were, if you're an isolationist and inward thinking and potentially an alcoholic, that makes you an Inuit. So they were quite varied.
Do you find when you were looking at those opinions, obviously you had to be born here, is there much of the population on Islay that is born on Islay, or do they all tend to be born away?
Well, I think from what my study found, I think it was in the either late 70s or early 80s that it became completely, like, the labour ward completely shut down on Islay. So most children were born in Paisley, unless you had a home birth or unless you didn't get to Paisley in time. So I'd say that...
Possibly due to a ferry cancellation or a plane.
Exactly. So I'd say that most people would be born in Paisley these days, with a few exceptions. But I think off that, people born actually on the island would definitely kind of feel that that makes them more of a proper look from the survey anyway. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure, but...
But certainly an ever-decreasing number, perhaps.
Yes, like that, definitely. Kind. Definitely.
And your other... You mentioned there about isolationist sort of viewpoint. Was that quite a common?
I think so. I think I was actually quite surprised that some people had taken the time to put in negative responses, almost like negative words, because this was Inuits doing it for themselves and saying that as Inuits they thought that they were. Isolationists didn't really, not very sociable, didn't like to speak to people very much, which I've not found in my experience growing up on Islay. I think we're the chattiest bunch that is, but that's kind of what came up in the survey as well.
How many people actually completed your survey?
I think there was roughly 300 people who did my survey, which was a huge amount, which was a lot of data to go through, but it was good that I had that response, which showed me that people are really passionate about it. People care a lot about it, more than I expected. And from that I managed to get 10 interviews, which were split in half of people who consider themselves Inuits and then people who consider themselves migrants to the island. So that was interesting too.
Is there a point at which people consider themselves Inuits if they've moved here?
I did find that. I think there was kind of a trend in people saying if you're here for a certain amount of time, you can kind of earn Inuit identity or become more of an Inuit. So that was people that didn't think it was a yes or no, like binary, born here or not. That was more people who thought that you could, if you acted in a certain way and you became part of the community, you yourself could become an Inuit over time. But that was kind of over like the course of a few decades, more than anything. And even then, there were still a lot of people who said, well, I've lived here for 30 years and my parents lived here for 30 before that, and we still aren't considered Inuits because of where we came from quite often. So it all depends, I think, on who you are.
Yeah. I had an experience in the swimming pool the other week there. I was speaking to two gentlemen, and the first time, and that's me being here 14, almost 15 years. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time anyone actually called me an Inuit, which I thought was...
It's a big day.
It was a big day for me, a big day. I don't know that I would consider myself an Inuit, but... I've got the choice now, apparently. So that's interesting. So was there anything surprising that showed up in your results that you didn't expect to see?
I think just how, like, almost confusing the nature of an Inuit was from the responses anyway on paper, because I expected either very much you have to be born here or not, or kind of more like, well, you can be here over time. But the responses were so, some of them were so specific down to details of, if you've lived here for 15 years and you have a job in a certain industry, that makes you an Eilleadh. But if you have a job in a different one, you're not. It almost seemed quite contradictory. You had to be really, really welcoming to people, but also retain the kind of Eilleadh roots and not let too many people move to the island. So it was almost just, I think, as somebody who, if you weren't from Eilleadh, it would be very confusing to kind of navigate that and work out where on earth you fit in, which I think I didn't expect. I thought it would be a lot more clear cut.
Do people still see it as an important identity?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, one of my questions was, are you proud to be an Eilleadh? And that was, I think, almost 98% yes for those who were, felt that they were. And other ones where it was like, would you like to be considered an Eilleadh, or do you think that's something like almost an aspiration? They had a similar point of view where they were like, yeah, one day I'd like to be considered an
Eilleadh. And what is your own sort of feelings about your identity? You've said before that you identify yourself as an Eilleadh. What do you feel makes you an Eilleadh?
I think for me it's, well, I wasn't born in Eilleadh, so I can't claim to that. I was born in Paisley, as most other people were.
I think anyone under the age of, you said 1980s, so yeah, that means about 44, anyone younger than 44 wouldn't be.
I think my mum was there for about 12 hours before she decided to bring me home, but still that is 12 hours of life in Paisley. But I think I've got a long family heritage in Eilleadh, as far back on both sides as it's worth counting. I think it's at least 11 generations on my dad's side, something ridiculous like that. So I think that makes me an Eilleadh to most people. But I also think it was quite conflicting doing the dissertation, because although a lot of the responses were overwhelmingly nice, there were some really nasty ones in there and some things that I don't agree with. So that kind of made me think. There was a few things, especially about attitudes towards, I guess, incomers, which is a word that I wasn't allowed to use in my dissertation, but would be the term that we would all use. There was a lot of real negativity towards that that I didn't agree with and didn't expect. So that was quite confusing, because it was almost a majority of people didn't like people moving to Eilleadh and didn't want people moving to Eilleadh, which I don't agree with. I think as long as people are nice and they get along, we should welcome anyone. But I would still consider myself an Eilleadh just because of, I think, growing up as one. I've never been known as anything else, so I wouldn't really know. Wouldn't call myself.
Would you see yourself as a Glaswegian?
No, certainly not. I think my accent sets me apart from them, but yeah, I just didn't really know what else to call myself.
And you said there about incomers, are there different attitudes based on where someone is coming from? Like, is it if they were American, or if they were English, or if they were from another area of Scotland, does that have an impact on their perception?
Definitely. I think a whole chapter of my dissertation was titled Anti-Englishness for that reason, because that was the overwhelming kind of viewpoint. I mean, there were certain quotes that were like, I welcome anyone from anywhere. They can come from Wales, Ireland, Romania, Slovakia, Poland, Germany, anywhere but England. So they listed quite a few countries, which took quite a while. But there does seem to be this very anti kind of English sentiment on the island. I think that spells, it's not just, that's not a natural thing. I think that spells from a lot of housing issues, a lot of other issues on the island kind of all tie into that.
I wonder, do you think it's typical of a wider Scottish attitude as well?
Definitely. I mean, I think there's kind of like an anti-Englishness across Scotland historically, and I guess as well anti-UK government too, not just actual English people themselves. So I think that all ties in, but I think it was interesting how clearly it came across in the responses. And I was careful in my dissertation to kind of say that this isn't just people's personal opinions, this is what they've been almost kind of raised with, and it is consequences of other things on the island, and like I say, a lack of housing, a lack of support from government, a lack of, I guess, infrastructure that people want, kind of all wraps itself in together. And I think English people on the island have been made a scapegoat more than anything. I think they're just a place for people to direct their dislike and their anger more than they are actually the source, and it's certainly not deserving, because I think a lot of different people have brought a lot to the island.
Did you break down the size of the groupings? Is it predominantly the people that are coming from the outside, are they tend to be mainly Scottish, or are they mainly English, or is it a very broad mix?
Well, from what I found, my 300 odd folk, that's what, about 10% of the population, they were mostly, people who did my survey were from Eilleadh, or considered themselves Eilleadhs, so most of them Scottish. But a lot of the people moving to Eilleadh were English for sure. There was minorities of kind of American, German, French, people like that. But I'd definitely say most of them were other British citizens, mainly English people.
Well, thank you, Samantha. That was really useful. Now, hopefully your dissertation will be finished What's your deadline?
Well, it's already submitted, but I'm waiting for it to get marked, which Glasgow Uni are making us wait with bated breath. I think hopefully by March I'll have an idea of how it went.
Well, and what's the next steps after you pass with flying colours, hopefully?
Well, we'll see. I'm applying to a few different kind of graduate schemes and stuff like that, but I'm hoping to work in environmental consultancy or geological sciences, so actually nothing to do with human geography, but...
You've done your time.
Yes, I've done.
How challenging it can
be. How complex it is, yeah, for sure.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to us on Mrs. Ayla.
Julian, that was an interesting interview with Russell and Samantha. Some of the points that she has brought in her presentation are some of the points that the three of us have raised.
Well, I think, I mean, first of all, it was really interesting that Samantha had selected this, not just the issue of being an Eluk, but migration issues on Isla as her dissertation for her geography degree. But it was interesting to see how the different factors play in, you know, not being, being born on Isla or not, having a deep connection, through family background, multiple generations, she brought that in. So it's really interesting, and the fact that she had 300 responses to a survey, so it's not just one casual conversation. It's
and we had the pleasure of reading her dissertation, and I agree with you about the points that she made. I liked the way in which she talked about the choices that young people on Isla have now compared with even 20 years ago to do with what we would probably describe as full employment, having jobs in the distilleries and therefore predominantly in the distilleries, obviously not solely, but being able to stay on the island if you chose to rather than going away and coming back.
Well, and I certainly noticed that people... You know, businesses on the island have chosen to keep many aspects of their business on Isla. So digital media, you know, marketing people, they don't have to be in London or Glasgow. They can be based here. So there's a lot more choice for
opens lots of opportunities for young people.
But we know there are other viewpoints on this. You know, we've heard mainly from young people, apart from ourselves, but. We're going to be hearing in our next episode, I think, from people with other viewpoints. You know, leave with this too. It came to me that Eluk is a Gaelic word. So where does Gaelic fit into this? And why is this a Gaelic word that everyone with a connection to Isla can identify with? They think they know what it means, but actually there are many different viewpoints.
You can find out more information about our podcasts at our website, thisisila.co.uk, by following us on social media, and of course by subscribing and following us on your favourite podcasting platform.
I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to this episode, to Jura and Matthew for their contribution, for Samantha MacArthur, Russell Pollock and Greg Barker from Isla High School, and especially for the use of their studios today. Jean McClellan, lovely to have you with us, and Glenn Roberts, as always. We'll be returning with more on this topic, what it is to be an Eluk. And if you have your own input, your suggestions, please get in touch via email, on our website, or social media. But apart from that, until next time, this has been This Is Isla.
Join us next time for more stories celebrating Isla and Jura.